Welcome back. In this lesson, we're building one of the most important bass sounds in drum and bass, the Reese mid bass. And specifically, we're aiming for that old school rave pressure vibe in Ableton Live 12. Now, if you're new to this sound, think of the Reese as the character layer of the bass. It's not the sub, it's the mid-range movement, the detune, the slightly angry, buzzing energy that makes a drop feel alive. The sub gives you the weight, the Reese gives you the attitude. Together, that's the proper DNB foundation. We're going to do this with stock Ableton devices only, so you can follow along even if you don't have any third-party plugins. By the end, you'll have a playable Reese patch, a clean mono sub underneath it, and a simple bass phrase that actually feels like part of a drum and bass arrangement, not just a synth loop. First, set up two separate MIDI tracks. Name one Reese mid, and the other sub. Keeping them separate is a big win in DNB, because the low end needs to be managed differently from the moving mid bass. The sub stays clean and mono. The Reese can move, widen, and get gritty. On the Reese mid track, load Waveatable. If you prefer Operator, that can work too, but Waveatable is the easiest starting point for beginners. After Waveatable, add EQ8, Saturator, and Utility. On the sub track, load Operator, then EQ8, then Utility. Before we even design the sound, let's talk gain staging. Keep your levels healthy, but don't slam the master. A lot of beginners make the mistake of turning everything up, because the patch sounds good soloed. In DNB, headroom matters. You want the bass to feel solid, not crushed. Now open Waveatable. Start with a saw-based sound. Use saw on oscillator 1, and if you want a little extra thickness, add a second saw and detune it slightly. We're not going for a huge trance supersaw here. This is drum and bass, so the movement should be controlled and focused. Think tension, not sparkle, for your starting point. Keep the tune subtle. A tiny difference between the oscillators is enough to create that beating motion that makes a Reese feel alive. If the sound starts getting too wide or too glossy, back off. In this dial, the magic is in the low-mid interference and that slightly unstable movement, not in a massive stereo wash. If Waveatable gives you unison, try 2 to 4 voices max and keep the spread moderate. Again, subtlety is your friend. A beginner mistake is to overdo the width and end up with something that sounds more like a big EDM pad than a DNB bass. We want pressure, not prettiness. Next, shape the note. Add a filter inside the synth if you want, or use auto filter after it. A low pass filter is a great place to start. Close it down so the top end is controlled, but leave enough mid-range so the bass still speaks. That's important, because on small speakers, the sub disappears and the Reese is what tells the listener where the bass is. Try a cutoff somewhere in the low mid range and adjust by ear. If it's too bright, close it more. If it's too dull, open it a bit. Resonance should stay fairly modest. We're not trying to whistle, we're trying to create a focused, thick growl. Now shape the envelope. Keep the attack fast, basically zero. You want the bass to hit immediately. Decay can be short to medium depending on how punchy you want it. Sustain can be medium to full if you want a smooth rolling note. Release should be short enough to stay tight, especially if your drums are busy. Here's a really useful teacher tip. In drum and bass, note length is part of the groove. If the bass feels too nervous, make the MIDI notes a little longer. If it feels too soft or too slow, shorten them. Sometimes the problem is not the synth at all. It's the phrasing. Now let's add movement. The Reese character comes from that slow beating motion, so we want some subtle modulation over time. If you're using Waveatable, you can automate Waveatable position, filter cutoff, or even tiny changes in unison spread. If you're using auto filter, automate the cutoff slowly across a bar or two. For a beginner workflow, I'd recommend starting with filter cutoff automation. Keep it shallow. You don't need huge sweeps. Even a small opening on the last beat of a phrase can make the bass feel like it's breathing with the arrangement. That's what gives old-school rave pressure its life. It's not just the sound, it's the motion over time. Now add saturator after the synth. This is where the Reese starts to get that gritty DNB edge. Keep it controlled. A little drive goes a long way. Start around 2 to 6 dB of drive, turn soft clip on if needed, and then trim the output so you're matching levels, not just making it louder. If the bass gets harsh, don't immediately assume you need less distortion. First check the filter, then check your unison spread, then check your EQ. A lot of unwanted fizz can be removed before saturation even happens. That means the saturator can do its job without making the patch sound broken. Now let's build the sub on the separate track. Open operator and use a sine wave. That's the classic move for DNB sub, because it stays clean and fundamental. Keep it mono. Put utility on the track and set the width to zero if needed. No stereo on the sub. That's a rule worth remembering. Also, keep the sub simple. No detune. No big effects. No fancy movement. The sub should be boring in the best possible way. It is the anchor. If the Reiss is the personality, the sub is the gravity. Back on the Reiss mid-track, use EQ8 to high-pass the low end so it doesn't clash with the sub. A good starting range is somewhere around 80 to 140 Hz, but always adjust by ear depending on the key and the arrangement. This is one of the biggest improvements beginners can make. When the sub and mid-bass are separated cleanly, everything gets louder, clearer, and heavier without needing to push the master. Now let's write a bass line. This part matters just as much as the sound design. Create a 2-bar MIDI clip to start. Keep it simple. Don't overplay. A classic DNB Reiss phrase often has a note on the downbeat, then a response later in the bar, and then a little pickup or answer before the loop repeats. Think question and answer. For example, bar 1 could have a longer note on beat 1, then a short note on beat 3. Bar 2 could leave space on beat 1, then come in on the offbeat and hold a note into the end of the bar. That kind of phrasing gives the drums room to breathe. One very common beginner mistake is making the bass line too busy. In drum and bass, especially old-school or roller-style patterns, space is power. Let the snare breathe. Let the kick breathe. Let the bass answer instead of constantly talking over the drums. If you want the groove to feel more nervous and tense, make some of the notes shorter. If you want it to feel smoother and more rolling, make them a bit longer. That's a really important concept. Note length controls groove. You don't always need a new sound. Sometimes you just need a different MIDI shape. Now drop a drum pattern underneath. A kick and snare is enough to start, but if you've got a breakbeat, even better. The whole point is to hear how the Reiss interacts with the drums. Does it leave space for the snare? Does it mask the kick? Does it come in too early or too late? Listen carefully and make small adjustments. If the bass is fighting the snare transient, move the note slightly. If it feels lazy, make the note shorter or bring it forward a touch. If it feels too aggressive, back off the filter or reduce saturation. This is the real composition work. The sound design and the drum groove have to lock together. A really useful thing to try is a darker first bar and a slightly more open second bar. That can be as simple as automating the filter cutoff so the bass breathes across the phrase. It gives the loop motion without needing a whole new patch. For old school rave pressure, little changes like that go a long way. Now let's talk arrangement energy. In a full track, this Reiss usually lives in the drop, but you can start teasing it earlier. In the intro, maybe only hint at it with a filtered note or two. Then in the build, let the bass open up a bit. In the drop, bring in the full phrase. Then at the end of the section, strip it back or change one note so the loop doesn't feel copy-pasted. That last part is important. Repetition is totally normal in drum and bass, but tiny changes every 4 or 8 bars keep the listener engaged. A single filter move, a slightly different last note, or even one beat of silence can make the whole thing feel more intentional. Here's another pro move. Once the patch feels good, resample it. Freeze and flatten the track, or record it to audio. This is huge for workflow. It turns the synth into arrangement material. You can cut the attack, reverse a tail, duplicate a note, or slice the audio into little call and response chunks. This is especially useful in jungle-influenced and heavier DNB because the sound becomes part of the composition, not just a live instrument. If the bass sounds great in isolation but disappears when you turn the monitor down, that usually means it needs more mid-range presence. That's a super important test. Drum and bass bass lines need to read at low volume and on smaller speakers. The sub gives you the physical weight, but the Reiss has to speak clearly enough to survive outside the studio. A few common mistakes to watch for. If the detune is too wide, the sound starts behaving like a trance pad. If the Reiss fights the sub, high pass the mid layer more aggressively. If the bass is too bright, tame it with a filter or EQ. If the notes are too busy, simplify. If the bass ignores the snare, rephrase it so it answers the drums instead of masking them. And if you want to push the sound a little further, there are a few easy upgrades. You can add a tiny bit of noise under the Reiss for extra dirt. You can use chorus ensemble very lightly on the mid layer for some width. You can try a short pitch drop at the start of each note for more punch. Or you can make 2 Reiss versions, one darker and one brighter, and alternate them every 4 bars to keep the drop moving. Let's wrap this into a simple practice goal. Build a 2-bar Reiss phrase using only 3 notes total. Put 1 note on beat 1, 1 response note later in the bar, and 1 short pickup note before the loop repeats. Then add a sine sub underneath, put a break or kick snare pattern on top, and automate the filter so the first bar feels darker and the second bar feels a little more open. Finally, bounce it to audio and make one tiny edit, like a reverse tail or a chopped repeat. That's the whole mindset here. A Reese in DNB is not just about making a big synth sound. It's about controlled detune, solid sub management, and phrasing that works with the drums. If you can make the bass lock with the break, hold the sub steady, and feel a live over 8 or 16 bars, you've got a real drum and bass tool you can use in Rollers, Jungle, and darker rave-inspired tracks. Nice work. Now go build that pressure.